Welcome to the Pastor's Porch, a place where pastors encourage one another, speak freely about the Word of God, and engage in real communal relationships with the body of Christ.
Well, hello everybody. Hope you are having a wonderful day. Welcome to the Pastor's Porch. Grab your cup of coffee, grab your hot tea, grab whatever you like. If you're on the road, keep your eyes on the road, wherever you're listening. We have something exciting we're going to bring to you today, kind of a follow-up from last week, and it's something that's probably not talked about just a whole lot within the just people in general within the church, but today we're going to talk about practical steps to avoid burnout. If you remember from last week, we talked specifically pastors, but we did talk a little bit about just individuals in general, but pastors, the average pastor in America leaves pastoring in 2.5 years. There's obviously, you could go into a lot of different details of what that is, yada, 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 but we just talk about that being burnout. And, you know, I wish I would have looked up what the average person works a job in America is now with the way the job force is, but regardless of all that, burnout is a real thing. You that are listening have probably experienced being burned out on something at some point in your life. You may not have given it up or may not have quit, whatever it is, but you had to work through it. You had to work through something. You had to work through realizing that you can't just give up. You can't just throw in the towel. And so today, we're going to talk about just some things that we have seen, we've adopted into our own life, of some ways, that we can avoid burnout, both from a pastoral standpoint and just life in general.
So let's jump right in and talk about, burnout and talk about just, how to avoid that. I mean, exactly what you said. I think it was funny, just Mingo, when you said, how long does the average job last? I just went ahead and used my Googler and Googled it. 4 years. 4 years. The average salary or hourly worker in America has been at their employer for 4.1 years.
Before they go to another.
Right. Different. Before they move on to something different. And so, you know, that's not much better than the 2.5 years. You're talking about 18 months longer than a pastor in most situations. But let's talk about burnout. What is burnout? That's a word we use. I've heard it for years. When I was in law enforcement, we used it all the time. We would talk about guys, Rod is what we called them, retired on duty, right? They were burned out, okay? And so we would call that guy Rod. Well, there's the same thing in pastoring, you know. You can get to this place where you burn out and you're just exhausted. But let's talk about what is burnout. So I used my Googler again, and this is just off the internet here. So the reduction of fuel or substance through use or overuse. And then another one is a failure of an electrical component or device because of overheating, right? And so, mm-hmm. like friction or whatever, you know, too much use, we could go down a lot of rabbit holes there. But today we want to talk about how to avoid that overuse. And I guess for me, I would talk about my own life. I don't know how many years I've been the senior pastor here now, since 2019. And so one of the things that I did early on in the ministry that I failed in at about that 2.5 year mark or about the 2 year mark that I noticed created a ton of burnout. So let's talk about practically about me for a minute. When I first took the senior role, I would not schedule a meeting between 7 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. period. You couldn't meet with me. Nobody. I would devote that time to prayer, study, rest, sitting with God alone, no time. Well, what happens is eventually the more you get into ministry, the more people demand your time, the more busy you get. You know, that was easy the first year. You know, sure. Nobody wanted to be around me. You know, the second year that got a lot harder. And then I noticed a time somewhere in there where I just personally quit applying that. And even only probably over the last 6 or 8 months, I've tried to redeploy that. And of course, there's the exception and somebody's in from out of town that I need to meet with, or there's an emergency or a funeral, or I mean, you can't be so rigid that you can't move.
Yeah, and anytime food's involved, it's,
well, you know, yeah, hey,
sways our decision needs, a little bit.
Somebody so. Needs breakfast. But as a rule, I've tried to go back to this, and when I do it, it works great. Is not everybody can do that, right? I mean, some people have jobs that start at 6 a.m. Some people have jobs that start at 8 a.m., you know, whatever. But for me, I try to take those first couple hours of the day and not force in, to be honest, in most cases, an unnecessary meeting.
Sure.
I mean, pastors love to meet. They just do. We love to sit and chat and talk and plan and vision cast and all that. And I think there's a time and a place for that. But for me personally, if it becomes more important than my private prayer life or a focus that I have for study or a focus that I have for just devotion for me, man, it just disrupts and it causes these symptoms, these burnout symptoms, which is an overuse, right? Because then I'm trying to use all my creative mind to help this pastor do something. All the while, I'm missing out on my Bible time, my prayer time, my devotion time, my practical time that I like to be with the Lord. And so that's just one for me personally that I love. And if we're talking about the practicality of it, for me, I have to have that personal time every day, usually twice every day, late at night, early in the morning, and often in the middle of the day. But for sure, those two times for me, my personal time with Jesus, if I'm lacking on that or only giving, maybe I'm only getting 10 minutes instead of 30 minutes, or maybe I'm only getting 7 or 8 minutes trying to force it in, for me personally, it just produces those symptoms of burnout.
Sure.
It's overuse.
Well, just thinking about what you're saying and just talking about the symptoms of burnout, and what they are, man, I think of, I just think of all equipment, right? Mm-hmm. When I hear those definitions, I think of just equipment. And every equipment I've used that has required electrical components and gas and engines and different mm-hmm. things, you run them all day, every day,
mm-hmm.
that's exactly what's going to sure. happen to them, right? Yeah.
Right.
And so, and I know this is a silly illustration, but I just think of the importance of allowing those machines to rest so that you get more out of them mm-hmm. when you want to use them. Mm-hmm. Man, it's the same way for our physical bodies and our spiritual bodies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week, but finding rest, finding a Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about like Sunday being the Sabbath, but right. finding time to allow you to rest in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's at different times, different days, different parts of the day for everybody. But I mean, that's one thing that I think is super important. For me, you know, talking about finding rest and trying to avoid burnout, on my days off, for the most part, our scheduled days off, let me put it that mm-hmm. way. But for the most part, I literally try to do nothing. Except, you know, I have two babies at home that I take care sure. of and watch and sure. those different things. But I try to literally stay away from the office, mm-hmm. try to stay away from these things, and I allow that to just be my day.
Right.
And I think that's important. And that's important for anybody at any job.
At any job.
At any part of life. Yeah. Not just pastoral, but I think it's important. You know,
we try to stay away from talking about me time and being, you know, being prideful and being selfish in that. But I also think there's value to allowing yourself to say no to things so that you can get the rest and just allowing your mind to just kind of turn off for a little bit. And so that's been really helpful with me in this season, because I was just joking with my wife last week. We were talking on the phone during work one day, and I was like, the Lord finally revealed to me why I feel so tired all the time. I said, this is the first year in my life I've actually had to work a full calendar year. It's the first year in my life I've actually had to work a full 12 months.
And
so we just joked about that. But then I just was reminded of how important those days off that I do get, and using them for myself and my family, and allowing, you know, just to be. And I think that's important. I mean, there's a reason that physical machines can't go all the time, right? I don't think there's any confusing part about how those things were created. And in the same way, flip it a little bit spiritually, we can't spiritually pour out all the time. Right. One of the best illustrations, and I know everybody uses it, but it's the ping pong balls in a pitcher filled up with water. Mm-hmm. Right. The ping pong balls represent kind of the spiritual downloads that you get. But as you pour out, like, you know, they start to fluctuate on how much, you know, water and how much spiritual things that are you are taking in. So you constantly have to be filled in spiritually. And so resting and taking that time to say no to things, I think, is one of the most valuable things you can have to avoid burnout. It's important.
So we talk about overuse, and in the same context, I'm just sitting here thinking, yes, this is all true. All true. 100% true. On the other hand, there's an underuse issue.
Absolutely. Right?
You know, like those same machines that you talk about, you can't overwork them. They've got to be in a groove in order to work properly.
Absolutely.
I remember when I was 18 years old, I went and bought a new pickup truck. And I don't remember if it had 9 or 10 miles on it. I don't remember. But it was very low miles. 17 miles, maybe. I don't remember the number. But I remember the guy that sold it to me. And he said, whatever you do, he said, for the first 1,000 miles, don't hot rod this machine. I remember this. This was funny. He said, don't just ride it hard. He said, you got to get it in a groove before you start using it properly.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
good.
So, I mean, spiritually.
That's really good.
I mean, you know, some people burn out too fast. I had a couple a few years ago that wanted to start a new ministry in the church. And I asked him, what is your day off? You know, I said, what does your day off look like? And they didn't have a day off. And they just had a new baby. And I said, and they were coming out of a, you know, a certain lifestyle and just busy, on fire for the Lord, love the Lord. And they wanted to add the one night a week off. They wanted to add a ministry night here at the church. And I just said, no, you know, I said, until you're willing to let something go to do it, I'm not willing to let you start it because you're burned out. And I think that is a reality. You've got to find the groove,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. That's so good.
All of us can get to the place where you were talking about, of the overuse. But a lot of us tend to live in the underuse also.
Yep.
And there's got to be a groove where you got to find your groove in life. You got to do it in your marriage. You talked about your kids. You talked about your wife. You talked about life. You talked about a new job, a new career, a new calling, living that out. And I think when you find that groove, you kind of got to settle in it for a while. And like for me is just, there's certain things I do on Mondays that take precedence over everything here. I mean, they just do. That's just, that's my groove. That same Monday for me is most people's Saturday mornings. You know, it's most people's Saturday afternoons. Because my Saturdays aren't like other people's Saturdays. No matter what happens on Saturday, come 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, my Saturday's over 90% of the time.
Sure.
because I'm going to settle into preparing for Sunday morning. So then I utilize my Monday for whether it's a long run or a long workout. I like to go bow hunting. I like to go rifle hunting. I like to go, you know, obviously when my kids are out of school, that's a big day for us to do hikes and fishing, and my wife's off work. That's a big day for us to, you know, we'll go do something together. But every person has a different groove. The only way you find that groove is to make yourself viable, right? Make yourself useful. And I think that's where a lot of people, they think that you got to be one extreme or the other. In reality, there's a middle ground that God's probably trying to get you into. And it's practical. That water that you're talking about with those ping pong balls, if it doesn't pour out, right?
Yeah.
How long does it take to become stagnant and grow bacteria and be dead?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to happen.
Absolutely.
So there has to be water coming in and water going out.
Yep.
You know, why is the Dead Sea dead? You know, there's no outflow.
Correct.
There's only an inflow.
Correct.
And so I think finding that balance is a great way to avoid burnout. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, just to me, that's a practical way that every person that's listening to this podcast can apply to their life, that they can avoid the burnout, but also press into who they are in Christ. I mean, I think that's, that, to me, that's how you help avoid the burnout, is to stay in it.
Yeah, well, you know? Just going back to the underuse aspect, because that's so good. I just think of some of the machines that have been underused before that I've tried to go use when they're not ready, and it's destroyed them.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think I've just been thinking about that in a spiritual sense, is the people who are not yet necessarily taking in what they should and not getting in that groove in their mm-hmm. spiritual walk mm-hmm. and underutilize, you know, not praying enough and maybe not mm-hmm. this, that, and the other, that when they do get put into positions, mm-hmm. it's usually they're the ones faster done than anybody mm-hmm. else, because it went from not being used at all because there wasn't a groove, there wasn't a constant spiritual flow, and then all of a sudden just boom, destroyed, you know, because they haven't been in that groove. And so, I mean, that's really important for us to keep in mind.
Well, what does Paul writes to Timothy when he's talking about appointing elders?
Yes.
He says, don't, I'm going to paraphrase, he says, don't appoint a new believer or a new convert.
Correct.
Because they're going to be filled with pride.
Absolutely.
And the devil is going to get in and destroy them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally that's a warning given towards just, hey, this person's showing up, make them a church leader. Well, you know, that's why there's more than one qualification there, you know.
Yeah.
Showing up is only one part, you know. But I think that's his real warning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is don't be filled with pride. So something else that I have to do for me to avoid burnout is not only do I have to spend that time, but in that time, I have to, for me, this is just personal, I have to be in God's Word multiple times a day. And you say, well, you know, isn't that what we just talked about? Well, yes. But we're just talking more about prayer and just setting aside the time. Now let's talk about what to do in that time. I, for me, have to be able to read and write, just personally. If I'm not reading, and then it can be one sentence. It doesn't have to be, you know, 800 words a day in a journal. I don't keep a journal. It could be a text to a friend. It could be a text to you or to the board or devotions. It could be anything. It could be a sermon. But I have to write out what I'm learning personally. That's just how I learn. So for me, I have to spend
that. I usually type it out.
Yeah, yeah. I say write.
Yeah.
Most of mine is typing as well.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But I have to have that.
Yeah. Well, we kind of talked about it last week, but I think we need to really reemphasize it, is
Man, you want to stay away from burnout. Prayer is one of the most important pieces. 100%. You know, I've done things in my life without praying first, and I've done things in my life with praying first. And without a doubt, I can tell you which one's been easier.
Yeah.
I can, without a doubt, I can tell you which one has has made me want to do other things versus like, oh man, I got to do this again, right? And so that is an important piece of that. And then, you know, even for me, I don't write as much or type, but I still do take time, like take time of just reading. And for me, when I'm in that time, not only am I reading the word, but I like to read historically about it, and I like to read theologically of what theologians say about it. And I don't want people to misunderstand me. I'm not trying to get some new knowledge about it, but I want the context of what's going on, right? That's one thing that, this is kind of just a side nugget, but that's one thing that I enjoyed of going to a Christian university, of learning.
Right.
You know, we read the scriptures. I'm guilty, so before I hurt your feelings, I'm guilty of this too. We read the scriptures at face value. Basically, what it says is what we have to do. But there's like four or five different ways the scriptures were written.
Sure.
And so you got to understand, you know, you have poems, you have songs, you have declarative, you have, you know, expository writing, you have, I'm going to forget the names of it, but you have, you know, ones that are imagination, you know, written. So understanding the different ways, and that really helps me in that, in my own personal time, of just that enjoyment of, because, you know, it's easy to get into a mundane thought of just reading.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Versus if you take the time and actually pause and reflect on some of those things, that helps me stay encouraged and alive and always ready to learn something different with it.
A few years ago, actually your dad and I went together to a church in Fayetteville, and there was a guy that was, Baylor University used to be a Christian university. Maybe it still is. I don't know. It was a theologian, you know, type university. Anyways, the guy that came to speak in Fayetteville was like their number one pastor and had been for like 30 or 40 years. Anyways, I'm sitting in this room at this talk, and I'm looking around the room, man, and there's some, by the world standards, some big name preachers in the room, and there's about 30 or 40 of us in the room. And that's what he taught on, was how to properly understand. Yes, the scriptures have a meaning at face value.
Absolutely. Yes, they do.
But the different kinds of the application. And I felt like I was drinking from a fire hydrant, man. He was just such a smart, wise man. I wish I could remember his name, but we got to spend the day with him, and he was just, he taught us so much. And we really enjoyed it. But to back up just one second, you said our time in prayer. And I began thinking about that. I've only begun to pray, you know, when I was younger, I prayed, of course, when things were bad. So the only prayer I had in my life would be like, it's 4th and 27, and, you know, you're down by 3 points, right? And you got to go 60 yards.
Lord, please let us convert.
Yeah, that was what I knew as prayer. Was the only prayer I had in my life, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, would have been, oh, this is awful, God, I need your help. And then when I really began to follow Jesus, you know, 13, 14 years ago, when that started, I guess 13 years ago, almost 14 years ago, is when I learned to really talk with God. And we, you know, we talk about everything. I mean, everything. And we still talk now, all the time. But, you know, the older I've gotten, I don't know if this is true for everybody. Maybe it's just me, because I spend so much of my life talking and speaking and spend so many times of my life in spiritual engagements. Maybe it's just me. But my prayer time is mostly shutting up and listening.
Yeah.
most of my prayer time is me actually being silent and listening to the Holy Spirit. I go into a time of acknowledgement of who God is, and then I go into a time of repentance. And after I acknowledge and repent, for the most part, now I'm talking about my perfect prayer setup, I go into a time of just, I don't say much. And then I go into a time of thanksgiving. And I know there's different acronyms that people use, and you know, I understand all that, and that's great. I love them all. You probably have one. I love them. I love them. I don't personally use one, but that's just how I pray. And for me, I have found, you know, the sweetest times of my life in the last few years has been times of prayer when I'm not talking but listening.
Yeah.
And the older I get, the more I enjoy the listening part.
Yeah, absolutely. I do have an acronym.
I knew you was going to have
well,
one.
Well, you asked that. We're going through literally the acronym PRAY
right
now in our youth group.
Right.
And P stands for praise, R is repent, A is ask, and Y is yield. And that yielding is shut up and listen.
Yeah.
I mean, just basically, and that's one of the greatest things that I've learned in my spiritual walk.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, because typically you can go read Psalms, go read David's prayers. I'm a lot like David, where most of the time I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, this is going on, and this is going on, and I'm frustrated with this, and blah. Yeah. And then, you know, then there's times where David gets wise in his writing, and he's like, search me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here I am. I'm going to pause. I'm going to stop. I want you to speak to me, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And in those moments, you know, I just think about things that I've prayed for and been frustrated about and things over the years and things that I was getting burnt out on, honestly. Mm-hmm. And in those times, every time the Lord would remind me where I'm at, why I'm there, and what I'm there for,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think that's really important. And I said this to our youth the other night in talking about this, and we haven't got to the yield part entirely yet, but I just said, imagine a friend that all they did was come to you and ask, mm-hmm. 24/7 and never just showed up and wanted to be there,
mm-hmm.
versus you had somebody that just showed up and said, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you want?
Sure.
Right? And I challenged him. I said, well, why do we go to Jesus that way then?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's a good point.
Why do we go to Jesus that way? Here you are telling me you want a physical friend that wants to be there and wants to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you need from them, whatever you're asking them to do. But yet we're the friend that just goes, Jesus, I need this. Jesus, I want this. Jesus, fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't go just, Lord, here I am.
Yeah.
And I, for me, just in to avoid burnout, just in the spiritual healthiness of my life, when I've learned, and I say learned because I still fail at it,
sure.
but when I learn and when I pause and I'll remember those things, everything that is on my to-do list, every task that I have, every frustration that I have, kind of goes to the back, and it's just this moment of where I just literally yield to whatever the Lord wants, needs from me, and reminds me of the season I'm in and the places mm-hmm. I am in for a specific purpose.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I love your acronym. That's great. I just put the Y and the A backwards. I guess I'm a Priya. I guess I'm a Priya. I don't know. But yes, that is wonderful. One thing I would add with that, with prayer, is fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I probably never fasted less than 10 times in my whole life until about 5 years ago. And I think sometimes, you know, things for seasons, right? Like you got to learn. I mean, you You can't just wake up today and you're a new Christian and all of a sudden you start fasting. Like, that's just not how fasting works. You have to develop that relationship. And so 5 or 6 years ago, I would, you know, maybe I'd fast less than 2 or 3 times a year, you know, for a day, maybe, you know. And now, there's not a lot of time that goes by that I don't have some level of fasting in my life. Now, sometimes that is without food, and sometimes that's days without food. Sometimes that's certain things the Lord's drawn me away from.
Sure.
Sometimes that's for a specific purpose, for vision, or for something I'm trying to see within the church walls, outside the church walls, in the community. But I have found that fasting brings direction and clear vision. And those two things are vital. If you're a leader, if you're a leader of anything, but especially a church, you need to hear what I'm saying. Fasting brings direction and clear vision. The direction is to the Lord, obviously. That's bringing every thought captive to the Lord Christ. And then the vision is the clear vision of how to follow through with what God's given you. If you're not fasting, if you're a Christian listening to this and you've never fasted, take 1 day. Take 1 day and take away 1 meal. I don't know how many meals you eat a day, but take away 1 meal. And when you want to eat that meal, go get on your knees and get your Bible and spend time with God. And then the next day, do it again and do it again. And just for one week, skip lunch and read your Bible and watch what God does.
Yeah.
And people get so caught up in the physical health of it. There are great health benefits to fasting, but the spiritual health, man, if you've never fasted, I just encourage you to partake in it.
Yeah.
It is life-changing, both spiritually and physically.
Yeah.
That's why your scripture addresses it all the time.
All the time.
I think undertaught, even by me in my own ministry, undertaught in the modern Christian culture.
I don't disagree with that.
Just completely undertaught.
Undertaught and underutilized.
Yeah, 100%. So we got presence, we got prayer, and then for me, if I'm going to give one more thing to avoid burnout, this one is vital. You've got to be around people that love God.
Absolutely.
And what I mean by that is, man, you could use the word community, you could use the word fellowship, you could use the word church, you could use the word family. You come up with whatever word you want to call it. But if you don't, and we've talked about this 100 times, if you don't have real people of God in your life who love God, not for your position, not for your placement, but just love God and love you for who you are, buddy, it's just a matter of time.
Sure.
It's just a matter of time before you burn out.
Well, you just go look and listen and study people that are burned out. Most of the time, they weren't connected with anybody.
They're alone. No lone wolves in the kingdom. No lone rangers.
I don't know everybody, and I don't know everybody that's been burned out, but I would tend to probably say that there's a common theme in those areas.
Yes.
Is they ain't got nobody around.
They got nobody. What does Ecclesiastes say when it talks about, you know, you got to have one to help lift the other one up?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, why are two better than, you know, one? Because when one falls, you're there to lift
it up.
I mean, that's exactly what the scripture says.
Yes.
And, you know, what does Galatians teach? Bear one another's
burden so that you fulfill the law of Christ.
I mean, Jesus, even when he sent his disciples out, sent them out 2 by 2.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there's a reason.
Even when the ark was loaded, it was 2 by 2.
Right. There's a reason community matters.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and yes, there's a time to be alone. And yes, there's a time you need to go away and you need to be alone. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Jesus was alone.
But if you're not consistently in a strong community of people, there's been times in my life where that community was huge. I mean, that community now is huge as a part of the church, but there's different levels of the circle of intimacy of relationship.
Correct.
You know, I mean, that's what people don't realize, and they don't like to talk about it, but it's true. Not everybody has the same relationship with everybody, and that's another conversation for another day. But the reality is you've got to have community. Yeah. You've got to have people that when you're down, they can build you up. And when they're down, you can build them up. And if you have real community, man, burnout's not even an option.
Nope.
I mean, it's just not, because you're fulfilling what Scripture says.
Yep.
I mean, you're just fulfilling what the Bible says we should do. Gathering, living together amongst one another, helping,
mm-hmm.
worshiping, giving. I mean, all of these things. Read the book of Acts. I mean, community is vital.
Yeah. Doubt there is any burnout in the book of Acts.
I don't see it. I don't see burnout in Acts. I mean, you just don't.
No.
That brings up another question. Why do we have so much burnout in the modern church? You ain't got time to answer, or you going to answer?
Depends on if people have ice to put on the burn afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of burnout in the American church because it's more of a business than a church. I mean, that's the shortest answer I can give. Y'all can think on that for a week. Yeah. We'll talk about it later. But you know.
Yeah, I would love to go deep into that one, but
I saw a video last night. I know we need to go, but it was not bashing mega churches or whatever that word is, you know. But it just said, this is the kind of church I want. And it was looked like somebody was filming it from a GoPro kind of sort of situation.
Sure.
And they walked into the church, and I don't know if there was 150 people there or 120 or 200. I don't know how many people were there. But they're in the lobby, and everybody's friendly and greeting. And then they go over into this, like, gym area, and there's, like, a Sunday school class. And then there's more family and community and prayer. And then there's, like, a sermon, and they're singing together, and they're in worship. And then they go, and they're having, like, a Christmas dinner together. And the statement that it made was, why is this kind of church dying and the mega church is growing? And man, I watched the video, and of course it doesn't show you who's filming it. You know, it could have been the past. I have no idea who was filming it, but I thought, man, like, that's the kind of church I want. Like, sure. that was a, yeah. It looked wonderful, man. It would look like a real community. I felt like it was our church. Like, I felt like when I was going through it, I felt like, man, that's what I feel like here. And anyways, it was just, it's just interesting. This is how I chase rabbits. And so, moral of the story is getting community, getting the presence of God, getting prayer, getting fasting, seek the Holy Spirit every day. The Bible says plainly that the Lord rewards them that diligently seek Him. And without faith, at the beginning of that verse, it says without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
Correct.
And so, you know, all those things put together, they're wonderful verses, so.
Well, we love you guys. Share in the comments. What are some ways, we'd love to hear your feedback. What are some ways that you've avoided burnout in your own life? Share some things with us and some practical ways that you've used. And we want to hear from you. So just let us know. Thank you for listening today to The Pastor's Porch.
Thanks for listening to The Pastor's Porch. If you don't have a church home, come join us at Unity Covenant Church in West Fork, Arkansas. We would love to have you. Thank you for your continual support to this podcast. Please stay tuned for more episodes. Have a great day, and God bless.